So I was talking about establishing awareness on something simple. I said, listen to sound. To do that, you have to stop thinking. So I'm obviously encouraging you to do this with me, right? So it's not an abstract. So listen to sound. So what do you have to do that? You have to stop thinking, come to the present moment. Not very complicated. But what does it do? I mean, for me, it's instantly peaceful. If I try to figure out what's he talking about, if I try to be peaceful by listening to sound, I'm not peaceful. Yeah, when you listen to sound, I will be peaceful if I listen to sound. It's like a negotiation. But if you don't do all that, you just listen. Isn't that peaceful? Isn't that enough? Do you want more? Other than the body. So, feel the body. And to do that, you have to stop thinking. So it's a doing, isn't it? Not a theory. So then I said, sound is in awareness. And the bodily feelings are in awareness. So what I'm trying to indicate that awareness is bigger than, say, more like space rather than form. So getting that principle right, to me, is the beginning of Buddhist practice. If you don't get that right, I think you're always trying to find something special. But that's not anything special, it's more like an attitude to the present moment. So listen to sound. And now sustain that for 7 days, 24 hours a day. And that's the difficulty, and that's what samadhi's about. It's the sustaining of that quality of attentive awakeness for longish periods of time. And so what happens when you try to do that? Well, if you've had a good Thai lunch, you might fall asleep because of this, your energy's in your stomach. Or if you're starting to feel pain in the body, you start to get restless and think about things. Or if you are building a Murphy bed, which I'm doing, you start thinking about building a Murphy bed. Or if you had some difficulty with your in-laws, you remember that. So your mind gets preoccupied with objects, thoughts, feelings, emotions, and it loses the perspective of knowing that this is in awareness. See what I mean? So then, how do you sustain that? Well, that's what we mean about the problem of the hindrances. So if you take something like dullness or sleepiness, if you feel dull and sleepy, what happens is you might, in the beginning, you know, you start to nod a bit and you notice it, and then you're gone. And you no longer have the perspective of, this isn't awareness. No, you're in the soup now. You're in the fog, you're in the thoughts, you're in the fantasy. You've been reborn into that. So then your challenge is, how do I sustain awareness around a hindrance? And then it's not a hindrance. Yeah? And that's the big challenge at 2 in the afternoon. It's the hindrance of dullness. So half of the group will be falling asleep. But that's normal. That's not bad. So you can do walking meditation or fast or whatever. But then to realize that there is a hindrance now, that's very important. You realize. So you bring up discernment and say, actually, I'm really finding it difficult to keep my posture up. You don't notice that, you just go, aren't you? So I'm noticing that. So what do? Well, you put energy into it. Why? Because not that you're trying to get rid of anything, you're trying to sustain this awake mind. So how do I sustain the awake mind when the mind wants to fall asleep? Simple enough. And so fellows like me give you techniques, things that I use, but the principle is, how do I sustain the awake mind through all the hindrances? So the hindrances are dullness and restlessness. If you feel restless, then it's the opposite of dullness. You just keep looking at the clock, basically. Physical discomfort creates restlessness. Just a restless mood of the mind. Too much coffee creates restlessness. But then you notice it's a different problem. Problem is still, can I stay attentive to it? And that problem requires a different solution. So you got to know what's the difference between dullness and restlessness. And what kind of effort do I need to apply? So the effort I apply, so if I'm feeling really restless and I keep moving my posture and I keep looking at the clock and I keep looking up and my mind can't settle, then I have to figure out, okay, how do I settle my mind as opposed to how do I energize it? So then you get, from that basic insight of the awake mind, get that down first. If that makes sense to you, then that should be the basis of your practice from then on. If it doesn't make sense to you, well, come and see me after. But that's the real heart of it, this awakened mind. It's so important. Then what you do is you choose a meditation object, right? And each of us chooses different meditation objects according to our preferences. So some friends I have don't like the breath. They don't find the breath helpful. They like space helpful or the sound of silence. Some people don't like the sound of silence. They like something more definite, the breath. Some people like the whole breath. Some people like the breath at the nose. And then fellows like me, again, will tell you, well, you have to do it at the nose or at the stomach. But it doesn't matter. It matters more, can you sustain that mind? It's the same mind as when you're listening to sound through all manner of phenomena, of inner phenomena. So just like some people prefer to stay, some people are interested in kicking balls around and playing sport. And some people are interested in making bookshelves. And some people like to cook. And some people like to read. So we all have different kinds of preferences where we find things interesting. So somehow, in your own practice, you have to find an object of meditation that you're interested in. Because the interest will sustain your attention. And the interest is not like exciting. It's interesting because it's a challenge for you to pay attention to. So the breath itself is not per se interesting, like a fabulous piece of literature, but you have to be interested in it. So what do you find interesting in meditation? Not what I find interesting, what do you find? So you have basic kind of practices, heart practices, metta bhavana, body practices like breath, and then more unconditioned practices like choiceless awareness, space, basis consciousness, things like that. You have mantras like Puto or gathas, like chants and so on. So what I recommend is things that I use. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't mean that you can't meditate. It's just the stuff I give isn't interesting. So you have to find your own. But that's okay. The principle is, how can you sustain this? Like, notice that I can sustain just the sound of I can sustain awareness on sound, and that brings me to peace. And to deepen that, what do? To deepen that, I notice the changing nature of sound. That requires more attention. Now, if I hold that for a minute, that's samadhi. That's all it is. It's just sustained attention in this particular way. So, how do you awaken the mind? How do you sustain the awakened mind? Do you understand what the awakened mind is? It's not very far away, it's always here. So, it seems to me that each of us has a methodology for remembering the awakened mind. Because I like to use sound, over the years I've just registered in my consciousness, when I just listen and know the way things are, no, that's the path. I've reaffirmed that, I've reconfirmed that, again and again and again. So I know, just listening to sound, okay, I'm back home. So do you have a way to do that? Do you have a simple method where you know, oh, I'm on the path again? Think about that. Because if you do, you can always return to that. And then when you have that, how do you sustain it? And then it's quite simple, really. Then for the rest of your life, that's all you do. You say, whether you're eating food or making slippers or whatever you're doing, you're just sustaining that. So whether you're working with craft or you're working in the kitchen or you're meditating, it's always the same awakening, the same awakening. And it's as simple as just listening to sound. Trust that. We're so complicated, we oftentimes don't trust simple things like that. So if you start to doubt, you say, I don't know if I understand him or not. You can run with that thought. You don't have to. You just listen to, just trust. So just try trust for a while. Just use the sound of the leaves or something like that and just see if that works. See if that works. Very immediate, very, very present. Okay, so let's do some sitting practice.